thank all the devotees for extending themselves for all the services in the recent events that happened. So, sorry for too much spontaneity several times. So, but all of you cooperated very nicely for the services and made all the events very comfortable for the many guests who attended. Thank you for all that. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunadhanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta couple of years back, when I was making notes for this chapter, so I thought it's like every verse has an analogy, or more than one analogy. So I thought let me put everything in a small document where all the list of analogies are seen. So I have made a 4-page document on this chapter for my understanding. And along with Sukadeva Goswami, Prabhupada also gives so many analogies in the purports. And Prabhupada, takes the theme of Sukadeva Goswami's analogies and elaborates more on it, and then includes one more analogy on the same theme. So like that, there are several analogies in this chapter. I think close to some 60, 70 or more than that analogies are there. And this is mainly the description of rainy season in Vrindavan and autumn in Vrindavan. And we are at Govardhan Eco Village. After I made this document, I felt we should really make a video or a PowerPoint having all the pictures of Govardhan Eco Village in Vrindavan. So, monsoons are passing, but I'm not getting time. So, this year, I took the camera and started clicking some photos, but time was not permitting. I gave the camera and the printout to Anupam Gaurang Prabhu. You must be knowing him. So he clicked some photos. Then I requested Madhumadha Prabhu to put them into PowerPoint and then align the pictures with these analogies. And Gaurang Bihari Prabhu. So both of them worked on the PowerPoint. And finally, I took it and then included some more pictures and did some touch-up and then presenting. And all the analogies are not from Govardhan Eco Village. So we had to download some pictures. Earlier I was thinking, by downloading some pictures, PowerPoint will be ready, but we should have really from GV pictures. Right? We are having monsoon, we are having everything, cows are there. So, except some analogies like where rivers meet the sea, okay, there is agitation, that agitation is compared to the uncontrolled mind of a yogi. So that kind of analysis we can't capture in this location, within this 65 acres, but most of the other things we can capture. So probably whatever we are lacking in this PowerPoint, some of you can take up and then include those pictures for the next year batch. So we'll begin from the first chapter. It's good. Actually, my thought of putting this whole chapter in the form of some pictures and analogies only is most people come to Govardhan Eco Village. They may not be practicing devotees, many of them, so but still they come. Some people who are interested in architecture may come here. Some people who are interested in horticulture, agriculture, then nature protection, and some school groups, college groups, corporate groups, so many people are coming. So if you present Bhagavatam in a form that is appreciated by them, everyone loves nature. Okay, everyone likes to put a nature wallpaper on their desktop, right? So all this, if the, all the nature wallpapers are from this location, they will be attracted to this location. And if there is a connection between that wallpaper and Bhagavatam, they will be attracted to Bhagavatam also. So this PowerPoint can go as a very good presentation for the guest groups also who are coming here. Lessons from nature. And interestingly, this chapter came in the midst of rainy season for your batch. That is special. Just now I was entering this room, a lot of rain around. So this is the right context to, you know, discuss this chapter. So now 19th chapter. In the 19th chapter, Krishna protected all the cowherd boys and calves from this forest fire. And in the 18th chapter, Balramji protected everyone from Pralambasur. So Pralambasur came, Balramji killed him. So the 20th chapter begins with all the cowherd boys narrating these activities of Krishna and Balaram to the elderly gopas and gopis. Text 1. Sri Shuka Uvacha Tayostadadbhutam Karma Davagner Mokshamatmanaha Gopastribhya Samachakhyu Pralambavadhamevacha.
Sukadeva Goswami said, to the ladies of Vrindavana, the cowherd boys then related in full detail Krishna's and Balarama's wonderful activities of delivering them from the forest fire and killing the demon Pralamba.
So all these boys came back and narrated the wonderful activities of Krishna and Balaram. Although killing of Pralambasur appears in the 18th chapter and delivering boys from forest fire appears in the 19th chapter, these gopas, they reversed the order. They are presenting Krishna's activity first and Balaramji's activities next. Right? The time order is reversed. This shows the relative importance of the activities. What Krishna does is the main activity, the main leela, the main pastime. And what Balaramji does is supporting activity. Right? In the previous chapters also, we have discussed when Krishna Balaram were crawling or stealing butter. Somewhere in the 8th chapter it comes. 8th chapter, right. So Krishna and Balaram are starting to steal butter. There, Krishna's name appears first, Balaramji appears next. There, Acharyas give a beautiful explanation that in all those activities, all those leelas of Vrindavan, Krishna is the predominating hero. Right? He is the main person. And Balaramji acts like support. That's what his role is, Balaramji's. He is never eager to become more prominent than Krishna. Although he appears as elder to Krishna, but still he is not eager to become more prominent than Krishna or outsmart Krishna like that. So Balaramji is supreme personality of servitor Godhead. So he always wants to be servant of Krishna. And whenever Balaramji's name is mentioned before Krishna's name, Acharya has also given explanation that it is because Balaramji happens to be elder to Krishna, his name is appearing before Krishna. Right? But in all the activities or leelas of Vrindavan, Krishna is the predominant hero and Balaramji acts like a supporting role. He is in the supporting role. So now the second verse describes the emotions of all the elderly gopas and gopis after hearing the activities of Krishna and Balaram. Gopavruddhascha gopyascha tadupakarnya vismitaha menire deva pravarau krishna ramau vrajam gatau.
The elder cowherd men and ladies were amazed to hear this account, and they concluded that Krishna and Balarama must be exalted demigods who had appeared in Vrindavana.
So what were the emotions? They were amazed, they were astonished. But what was their conclusion? This Krishna and Balaram must be some demigods who appeared in Vrindavan. At the max, they can go to that level. And that thought will not remain for more than a few moments. Right? Let them be demigods, but they are our Krishna and Balaram. We love them. Like that. These thoughts overwhelmed them. So, although sometimes gopas and gopis, they were astonished by Krishna's activities and sometimes they even consider Krishna and Balaram as some demigods or something, they did not bother to identify which devatas they were. Because their hearts were overcome with prema for them as friends. Right? Their Vatsalya rasa or their Sakhya rasa or their other rasas with Krishna are overwhelming them so much that they did not bother to give any importance to the Aishwarya aspect of Krishna and Balaram. Right? Their strength. They heard about the extraordinary strength. They were still not aware that they were God because they were bound by the strong bondage of love for Krishna and Balaram. And on top of it, Krishna and Balaram's extraordinary activities nourished their sweet relationship only. They nourished and they increased their sweet relationship. So nowhere it is stated that their parental love decreased. When Vasudeva and Devaki witnessed some extraordinary activities of Krishna and Balaram, their parental love went in the background. Their reverence aspect came in the foreground. But in all the Vrindavan Leelas, although all these Vrajavasis are hearing and witnessing Krishna and Balaram's extraordinary strength, there was never a time where their feelings of reverence appeared in them. right? They were always overwhelmed with affection towards Krishna and Balaram, right? And here, when all the gopas, you know, younger, smaller gopas, they were narrating it to the gopa vriddhascha gopyascha, gopa vriddhascha, means elderly gopas and gopis, there were some young people also heard, right? Young people also were present there, but elders are specifically mentioned because they experienced the greatest astonishment. Jiva Goswami says like this. So when we hear something about someone, that generally has an effect on our consciousness, right? When we hear something positive about someone, we will be influenced to think positive about him. When we hear something negative about someone, so our perceptions are little colored, right? We may feel negative about some person, right? And hearing positively or negatively about someone or something will have their own advantages and disadvantages. For example, you hear something positive about a mobile phone. This mobile is like the best of the best in the whole world, right? You hear over exaggerated glorification of some object, some person or something like that. So you may have unnecessary expectations. That has an influence on us. And you hear something very bad about some person. He's not that bad, right? That will have some effect on our consciousness. So hearing positively or negatively about some person or some object will have some positive influence or negative influence on us, right? So we get affected. Most people get affected because we are under the influence of modes. But Vrajavasis, when they hear something negative about Krishna, that he is a thief, that he is stealing the garments of gopis, or he is doing a lot of mischief, right? He is distributing butter to monkeys or whatever, their affection increases. And when they hear the glorification or the power or extraordinary strength of Krishna, that he is killing demons, that he is protecting all the cowherd boys from various calamities in Vrindavan, he is lifting Govardhan mountain and then protecting the entire Vrajavasis, right? When they hear all these kind of extraordinary things about Krishna, still their affection remains the change. Affection remains the same, right? So Vrajavasis are that one group of people who have absolutely no influence on their consciousness when they hear either positive things about Krishna or negative things about Krishna, apparently, or whatever they hear about Krishna, their affection and love for Krishna will never decrease. It will only increase, right? It will continue to increase. It will remain the same. Their impression on Krishna is eternally the same. Their affection for Krishna is eternally the same. And it will increase only. It will never decrease, right? So any amount of glorification or gallification in mundane sense will not have any kind of influence on these people, right? Others, demigods, when they hear about Krishna, killing some demon or something like that, they will have so much reverence and all that, right? These people will never have reverence, right? And these people will never minimize the position of Krishna also. So that is Vrajavasis, right? Because that is the natural state of a living entity. The natural state of any living entity is to love Krishna, right? Krishna is the dearmost object of every living entity. That is, you must have heard it very recently in 14th chapter, last section, Brahma Vimohan Leela. How come all the Vrajavasis love Krishna more than their own children? Okay, this is inconceivable, Parikshit Maharaj asks. So Sukadeva Goswami gives a great detailed description. Right? This is the natural state of every living entity. Anyone who is deviating from this state of consciousness, okay, he is a contaminated soul. He is a conditioned soul. And when the soul is unconditioned, he will have unconditional love for Krishna. Right? He will not be influenced by any other talks like this. He will just love Krishna like that. So now, that is the effect of all this hearing about Krishna and Balaram on the Vrajavasis. Now from the third verse onwards, Sukadeva Goswami, he begins speaking about the rainy season, monsoon. Okay. third verse. Tatah pravartata pravrud sarvasattva samudbhavam vidyotamana paridhir vispurjitanabhastalam.
Then the rainy season began, giving life and sustenance to all living beings. The sky began to rumble with thunder, and lightning flashed on the horizon.
So rainy season began. So rainy season, when it began, it is giving life and sustenance to all living beings. Life and sustenance. So when summer finally passed, with the rains, the new plants are growing up, right? When summer is there, then everything will get dried. See all the whole mountain that you see behind you, that becomes brownish. It's not greenish. Somewhere some green patches here and there only you will see. Now the whole mountain is green. Now when there is a big rock, you will see some little black patch. Otherwise the whole mountain is green. Means so many plants are taking birth with the appearance of monsoon. Means monsoon is bringing life and sustenance. Sustenance means whole earth is dried up. So now it is having the showers of rain, and then it is the thirsty earth is getting some, you know, water. Okay, so that is how rainy season is giving life and sustenance to all beings. Right, new plants and other entities took birth. So everything that which has become dried up became renewed with life. Right, in order to tell the pastimes of monsoon and autumn, the first beauty of Vrindavan in the two seasons, which acts as Uddipan for intense joy, is described. So now in the later chapters, Sukadeva Goswami will describe all the beautiful pastimes of Krishna, Madhurya pastimes of Krishna. The next chapter, 21st chapter, is Venu Gita. So Krishna is playing Venu, and gopis were contemplating on that, and they were going into ecstasy, right? Earlier also, there is a little mention of gopis here and there. Kaliya pastimes, gopis were witnessing Krishna. At that time, they were young, and that is Purvarag. I think Radha Govind Maharaj says. So that is Purvarag, and what is described later is Purarag. So it is like filled with rag. So they were just developing, they are very young and small, so they were developing conjugal feelings for Krishna. So now that conjugal affection for Krishna will completely manifest in the descriptions of the future chapters. So 21st chapter gives some glimpse, and from 29th chapter till 33rd chapter is the Rasa Panchadhyaya, right, to describe all those beautiful events that are going to come, right, of monsoon and winter, right. So now the description of these two seasons, beautiful seasons, are given by Sukadeva Goswami here. Right? This is like Uddipan for intense joy. Along with the ornamental description, the positive and negative features of those seasons are presented. This continues for the rest of the chapter. Right? The rest of the chapter from fourth verse onwards are various features of monsoon and autumn. And interestingly, Prabhupada, when he was given an invitation to present something in Japan, so he chose this chapter, and there were some artists. So Prabhupada gave all these analogies to those artists, and then he wanted them to paint. Right? This is a very special chapter, and there is a special book also, Light of Bhagavata, on these chapters only. So this is interesting to know various features of monsoon. So now Sukadeva Goswami is beginning. Rainy season began. Fourth verse. Sandra Neelam Budair Vyoma Savidyut Stanayintnabhi Yitnabhi Asprishta Jyotir Achannam Brahmeva Sagunam Babhu.
The sky was then covered by dense blue clouds accompanied by lightning and thunder. Thus the sky and its natural illumination were covered in the same way that the spirit soul is covered by the three modes of material nature.
Very beautiful. So in these various set of analogies, we will find Prabhupada giving positive and negative lessons from this various features of monsoon. So here the sky is compared to soul, right? In summer or other seasons, sky is very clear, but in monsoon, sky is overcast with clouds, lightning, thunder, right? So this lightning is compared to goodness. So sky is compared to soul. Just like sky is covered with lightning, thunder and dense blue clouds, soul is covered with goodness, passion and ignorance. Right? Lightning is compared to goodness, thunder is compared to passion, and this clouds are compared to ignorance. The comparison is easily understandable. Right? So, here this Brahman, Brahmeva, means a part and parcel of Brahman, Supreme Brahman, an amsha of Brahman, that is the spirit soul. Brahmeva sagunam bhavau. So, just like a soul is covered by modes, similarly, the sky is covered by these three aspects, thunder, lightning and dense blue clouds. Next, fourth verse. Ashtomasan nipitam yad bhumyas chodamayam vasu svagobhir moktumarebhe parjanyah kala agate.
With its rays, the sun had for 8 months drunk up the earth's wealth in the form of water. Now that the proper time had arrived, the sun began releasing this accumulated wealth.
So now this picture is showing some water body which is not so deep. You are seeing the bottom surface, bottom part of the river also. It's like very shallow because sun is drying up the wealth of earth. What is the wealth of earth here? It is water, right? For 8 months during summer and winter, sun is drinking up all this water. And he is releasing at proper time, that is monsoon. 4 months he gives profuse amount of waters and 8 months he just takes it. So this is compared to a king's, collecting taxes from the citizens. A king is there, he collects taxes, right, from the citizens. And when there is a need in the kingdom, king releases those taxes. When there is a famine or a drought, king distributes charity in the form of food grains and other things, and he performs sacrifices when there is drought. So like that, king engages all the taxes that he has collected in public welfare work, just like sun is giving rain, right? So this is collecting taxes and this is releasing them at the proper time for public welfare activities, right? And Prabhupada says that the collected taxes should be utilized for public welfare, not for sense gratification of the politicians. That is important. And sixth verse. Tadidvanto mahamegas chandasvashanave pitaha preenanam jivanam hyasya mumuchir karuna iva.
Flashing with lightning, great clouds were shaken and swept about by fierce winds. Just like merciful persons, the clouds gave their lives for the pleasure of this world.
This is GV picture only. Anupam Gauram Prabhu click this also. This is not GV. Our photographers are not so experts yet. So sixth verse. Flashing with lightning, right? That is appearing. And Sukadeva Goswami mentions that clouds gave their lives for the pleasure of the world. So clouds are filled with water. That's what a cloud means, right? Cloud is filled with water, and whatever water the cloud had, it is just pouring. So means clouds are giving up their lives. Whatever is there in their possession, they are giving up. So this is compared to merciful persons or rich men. Some charitable rich man, not every rich man. Not every rich man is compared to monsoon cloud here by Sukadeva Goswami. Merciful rich man, right? So clouds were shaken and swept away by fierce winds. When the winds are blowing and the clouds will scatter here and there, and then rain comes. Similarly, when there is a need, all merciful persons, so they give away their wealth for the happiness of the society. Right? So, in this particular purport, there are so many set of analogies. Right? In times of need, all the kings or rich persons or merciful people, they give up whatever wealth they have accumulated, even at the cost of exhausting their whole treasury. Example, Rantidev is there. Now, Rantidev, he was hungry, he was fasting for a long time, and when some people came, he just gave. You take this. Okay. He had little water. At that time also somebody came, I want water, I'm thirsty. Take this also. Let me die, no problem. I want all of you to be happy. Like that. So water is urgently needed after summer. So there is an urgent need now. Because for 4 months of summer, the earth's surface got dried up completely and there is a need for water. So at this point, this is the right time, right moment. All the clouds acted like merciful persons and charitable persons and they gave rain. So Prabhupada gives one beautiful analogy. Dasharatha Maharaj, his fight with enemies is described. So Dasharatha Maharaj is such a chivalrous king that when there is a need, when there is an attack of enemies, he would fight with them, just like farmers would uproot the unnecessary plants. Farmers would uproot weeds. Similarly, Dasharatha Maharaj would fight with the enemies. Now, when there is a need for charity, Dasharatha Maharaj would distribute money very indiscriminately. Right? That kind of king's charity is compared to clouds' rain. King's fight is compared to farmers uprooting weeds. So these are the beautiful analogies that Prabhupada gives. So they are uprooting weeds and they are in the rain, cloud is raining. Right? So the rain is so sufficient and so sumptuous that rain even fell on oceans and seas. So here you see it's raining on a water body only. Right? Even on the ocean, even on the surface of river, where there is no need of water, still they rain. The clouds rain. So that shows the magnanimity and sumptuous nature of a charitable person. Like that. So charitable person would distribute treasury open-heartedly and does not discriminate. There is no discrimination. You would just donate like that. And the lightening in the rain clouds is like the light by which they see earth's distressed condition. This is beautiful, right? You see, this lightening is there. So, through this lightening, some light is falling on the surface of earth. Through that lightening, the clouds are seeing the distressed condition of the earth, emaciated condition of the earth, and then they are pouring rains, like that. So, this blowing winds are compared to the breathing of a distressed person. Lightning is the light through which clouds are seeing the distressed condition of earth. Torch lights, whatever. To see. Now, seeing the distressed condition of earth, the clouds tremble in wind like a compassionate person and pour down rain. When somebody is suffering, a compassionate person or a merciful person, he would feel that I am suffering. Paradukha dukhi. He becomes paradukha dukhi. Similarly, clouds became paradukha dukhi, seeing the earth's distressed condition. So these are some analogies. Then the seventh verse. Tapa krisha deva mridha asid varshi yasi mahi yathaiva kamya tapasas tanu samprapya tatphalam.
The earth had been emaciated by the summer heat, but she became fully nourished again when moistened by the god of rain. Thus the earth was like a person whose body has been emaciated by austerities undergone for a material purpose, but who again becomes fully nourished when he achieves the fruit of those austerities.
So the previous verse describes the magnanimous nature of the clouds, and this verse in contrast describes the emaciated condition of earth. So that's a very good combination. Someone who is desperately in need, someone who is so magnanimous to fulfill his needs. This is the best combination of earth and clouds happening in monsoon season. janasya krishna vimukhasya devata dharmashilasya sudukhitasya anugrahayeha charanti nunam bhutani bhavyani janardanasya. So this people are undergoing severe amount of distress, all the conditioned souls, and because of vimukhasya devat and all the charitable persons, right, they are distributing the charity of Krishna consciousness and bringing them back to Krishna consciousness. That's a perfect combination, right? Then tushyanti adabhra karuna svakrutena nityam ko nama tat pratikaroti vinoda patram. You know this verse, right? This is like our paribhasha sutra of the gratitude of Vidyapit. Right, in all our books the first verse is this, eri drishi bhagavato gatiratma vada. So all the acharyas who have explained the scripture so nicely for the understanding of the conditioned soul, right, they can never be repaid. Similarly, this earth is so emaciated and the clouds are distributing the charity, what is most needed for the earth, and they are distributing the charity at the cost of they themselves becoming inexistent. Right, cloud is pouring everything. Right, similarly the charitable persons or Krishna conscious persons, they give up everything. But not their bhakti is not lost, right? This is a different comparison. You have to bring in the spiritual aspect there. So their bhakti is not lost. Their bhakti will increase only. But they give up everything means they do a tremendous amount of sacrifice for the welfare of people. Tapyante lokatapena sadhava prayashojana pramaradhanam taddhi purushasya akhilatmanah. So they undergo tremendous amount of austerity for the welfare of people. And that is very pleasing to Krishna. Right, yidam paramam guhyam madbhakteshu abhidashyati. If someone explains this transcendental knowledge to, you know, people, my devotees, he is most dear to me. So that is the theme of the clouds distributing rain on emaciated earth. Now, a mundane comparison is given here. Right, now we have seen some divine comparisons by quoting some verses like, what is that, Eridrishi, then Tapyante Lokatapena, Janasya Krishna, Vimukhasya Devada, and all this we have discussed. That is spiritual. A mundane comparison is given. Just like a yogi, Baba, sitting here, right, such people do austerities, right, and they become very emaciated. And what is the purpose of their austerities? Some material purpose. They want to gain some siddhis, or they want to get some opulence, or they want to go to some higher planets or whatever. With some material purpose, they do some austerities. And when they get the result of their austerities, they become very happy. They forget all the austerities. Right? He become emaciated and looks like he got some result and then he's getting ecstatic. Now, so that kind of comparison is given. And acharyas describe that this is a mundane comparison, not meant for devotees. Right? And the earlier comparisons we have given, they are fitting to, you know, our mood. So earth became emaciated by summer heat. And its energies became depleted. And earth has become so lean, but fully nourished again with green vegetation. Became healthy, strong, right? When moistened by the rain god. Right? When moistened by the rain god. Beautiful line. Similarly, a person emaciated by austerities undergone for a material purpose, but nourished when he achieves the fruit. Right? His material desires are fulfilled, he'll be happy. So this example is repugnant or redundant to the devotee striving for the ultimate goal of love of Godhead. So devotee's mentality is non-fruitive. Right? He's the principle that he holds well in his life is anya bhilashita sunyam jnana karma adyanavartam. Even if he may not have that mood, but he strives to have that mood. Anya bhilashita sunyam jnana karma adyanavartam. That's why we need acharyas. Bhagavatam, this analogy is given. Okay. Similarly, we should also be looking forward for some result. No, this is a mundane comparison. This is not meant for devotees. Right? Acharyas, Chakravartipad clarifies it here. Right? Even the amount of distress that a devotee undergoes in devotional service is a great source of pleasure for him. Austerity is not an austerity for a devotee. It is a pleasure. Because he is doing that austerity for Krishna. But for our understanding, this earth's austerity or emaciated condition is compared to a yogi's emaciated condition because of austerities, and earth's getting rainfall from the clouds is compared to a yogi getting the results of his austerities. Right? Prabhupada writes, undesirable government parties undergo austerities to get control and flourish by salaries. So, undergoing tapasya and devotional service to regain spiritual life and thus spiritual happiness and realizing Supreme Lord, that is the purpose of austerities, not some material gain desired by less intelligent men. Prabhupada clarifies. Now, 8th verse. Nishamukhe shukhadyotas tamasa bhantinagraha yatha papena pashanda nahi veda khalu yuge kalau yuge.
In the evening twilight during the rainy season, the darkness allowed the glowworms but not the stars to shine forth, just as in the age of Kali the predominance of sinful activities allows atheistic doctrines to overshadow the true knowledge of the Vedas.
Now in monsoon, you can't clearly see the moon or stars because of so many clouds. But you can clearly see the glowworms. Just try coming to the ashram night at 8 o'clock from Goshala to ashram. You will see so many glowworms. Right? At least some glowworms you will see. They become so prominent in the night. Generally in the night, stars should become prominent, moon should become prominent, but the sky becomes very dark and your surrounding atmosphere becomes very, with light, so much with light because of glowworms. So this is compared to the predominance of sinful activities and atheistic doctrines in Kali Yuga. They overshadow the knowledge of Vedas. Right? Someone who is walking will become grateful to all the glowworms. Right, array, they are showing us light. I don't have a torch. I can, nicely walk to the ashram because of these glowworms. Right? But what gives more light is the moon, is the stars. Right? So, because of monsoon, the moonlight and the stars' light, they went in the background and the glowworm light became prominent. Similarly, because of Kali Yuga, the actual knowledge of Vedas is overshadowed by atheistic proposals, atheistic doctrines, right? Some non-devotional or so-called whatever, secular. So this kind of things become more prominent than the pure knowledge of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So Kali Yuga means a cloudy season for living entities, right? Monsoon. Glowworms is becoming prominent and stars are becoming going in the background. Similarly, Kali Yuga is like a cloudy season. The real knowledge is covered by influence of material advancement. Cheap mental speculators, atheists, manufacturers of so-called religious principles become prominent like glowworms. Whereas persons strictly following the Vedic principles or spiritual injunctions become covered by clouds of this age. That if someone says something about from Bhagavad Gita, you become like, what is he speaking? You go in college and everyone is discussing about some newly released movie or something else, right? Some politics. Some student goes and then speaks a verse from Bhagavad Gita, he'll be seen like an outcast. What is he speaking? Because glowworms are more than stars, right? So in monsoon, sometimes clouds, now there is some little hope. Beautiful. Prabhupada says, we should learn to take advantage of actual luminaries of the sky, sun, moon and stars, not the glowworms light. So who are the actual luminaries? Sun, moon and stars, not the glowworms. Right? Their glow is very meager. That's why you see in this picture, there is moon, there are stars. So this is compared to Kali Yuga. Sometimes in monsoon, clouds also become clear. Right? And moon, stars and sun are also visible. Sometimes during monsoon also. Similarly, when the Sankirtan movement is progressing in Kali Yuga, we should understand that it is the time of clear sky in the midst of monsoon. Right? Like that. That is the Vedic movement of Lord Chaitanya. So it is like the appearance of sun and moon in the midst of monsoon. That is Sankirtan movement, Kali Yuga. So people who are seriously anxious to find real life should take advantage of Krishna consciousness movement instead of looking towards so-called light of mental speculators and atheists. Right? That is glow warm light, this is moonlight, this is starlight, this is sunlight. That is Sankirtan. Beautiful analogy Prabhupada gives. So Prabhupada's style is to extend the scriptural analogy, Sukadeva Goswami's analogy, and gives so many lessons from it. Right? Ninth verse. Shrutva barjanya nidhanam ninadam manduka sasrujurgira tushnim shayana prag yadvad brahmana niyamatyaye.
The frogs, who had all along been lying silent, suddenly began croaking when they heard the rumbling of the rain clouds. In the same way that Brahmana students, who perform their morning duties in silence, begin deciding their lessons when called by their teacher.
As soon as the first rainfall begins, all the frogs start croaking. Did you hear the croaking of frogs here? That happens. Especially if you go in the night or something like that. In Goshala you must be hearing, right? Because it's more silent than the busy, you know, ashram side. So frogs start croaking. So they were silent till then. Till then they were silent. Now suddenly they started croaking after the first rainfall, because they heard the thunder and the rumbling of the first rain clouds. So this is compared to some Brahmana students beginning recitation of Vedic mantras at the call of Guru. Sloka recitation. Or Vidya beats. Right? So they are performing their morning duties. So far they were in silence. Right? Suddenly conch shell blows at 4:30. Everyone will start gathering together, samsara davanala. So all that will begin, right? So like that. So far they were in silence. They immediately begin reciting their lessons because they were called by their guru, teachers. So Prabhupada says, gives a nice lesson. Everyone is sleeping in darkness of Kali Yuga. But only by the calling of a great Acharya, everyone takes to Vedic study to acquire actual knowledge. So this kind of beautiful examples from nature or from some day-to-day life, they will allow us to accept the main principle or lesson into us. So analogies are very powerful tool for preaching or for communicating a message, right? To communicate, to make a point, if you give an example or analogy, the point will become clear. So where is frogs croaking because of rainfall, and where is great Acharya delivering all the people, right, by calling and distributing Vedic knowledge? Prabhupada is immediately connecting it to Acharya. Sukadeva Goswami is connecting immediately to Brahmana students being called by their guru and starting their recitations. Right? So that is one lesson. Then, 10th verse. Asan utpata gaminya kshudranadyo nunushyuta nanushyati pumso yatha svatantrasya dehadravina sampada.
With the advent of the rainy season, the insignificant streams which had become dry began to swell and then strayed from their proper courses, like the body, property and money of a man controlled by the urges of his senses.
So, because of this rain, dry, insignificant streams, Kshudra Nadyo, right, there is a big river there, Vaitarini, or there is a big lotus, there is a big pond, 14 feet or 20 feet depth pond here, 1 crore liter pond. They are like significant water bodies. And now you see the next to the pond, there are small streams there. You must have gone there, to the water pond. Right, the small stream. This is the photo from there only. Right, they become swelled. Right, so far it has been a small ditch. There is little water. And it started becoming overflowing, right? That is, dry streams began to swell and strayed from their courses, like that. So this is being compared to body, property, money of a man controlled by urges of his senses, right? So the senses, the small water bodies are overflowing and then going out of the stream, right? Similarly, because when the senses are uncontrolled, they just take away all the money, property, body, everything, the energy of a person, of a man, right? So small rivulets and ponds overflow in monsoon, and but again they become dry in the dry season, right? Initially they are overflowing because of some rainfall, and after some time they don't have the capacity to overflow. They don't they become very dry as soon as the autumn or summer, winter comes. So similarly, in our materialistic way of life, which is compared to a desert, we hanker after an ocean of happiness, but in the form of society, friends, mundane love, we don't get more than a drop of water, right? That is insignificant happiness. So the small insignificant ponds, they cannot contain a lot of water, right? They become dry again. Similarly, this our desires for sense gratification are there. And then if we derive happiness from family, friends and society, etc., we cannot, that happiness will not sustain us, will not give us nourishment, right? So this kind of comparison is given. Next verse, 11th verse. Harita, 11th, right? Harita haribhish saspair indragopayish chalohita uchindra Uchilindra krita chaya Nidam shrir iva bhur abhut.
The newly grown grass made the earth emerald green. The Indragopa insects added a reddish hue, and white mushrooms added further color and circles of shade. Thus the earth appeared like a person who had suddenly become rich.
So because of the monsoon rain, some grass started growing on the surface of earth, right? What is this compared to from our earlier cantos? The grass growing on the surface of the earth. Put the charging. So grass growing on the surface of the earth, it is compared to something from our earlier cantos. Forgot? First canto. It is compared to the hair standing on end. Romotsavo mamayadangri vitankitaya. Mother Earth. Put this for charging. It's getting charged. Okay. So the newly grown grass is making the earth emerald green. So far it was brown, it has become green now. We must have seen in our monsoon, everywhere it is green. So it is, the surface of the earth became emerald green, and there were some Indragopa insects, right? They added a reddish hue in the midst of the greenery, right? And there were so many mushrooms. All these are GGV photos only. This mushroom is GGV mushroom. So persons, mushrooms added for further color. So green is there, white is there, red is there. So all this sudden opulence and wealth is compared to a poor man becoming rich. A person has suddenly become rich like that. And Prabhupada also gives a beautiful comparison. It's like a royal parade displaying the military strength of a king. When a king comes into a kingdom or goes out of the kingdom, it's a royal parade. So many foot soldiers are there, so many chariots are there, elephants are there, so many people are glorifying him, throwing some flowers on him. Similarly, monsoon is coming like a royal emperor, king, okay, along with the richness of greenish hue, reddish hue, and Indragopa, and white mushrooms. So all these are coming. This is like a royal parade, displaying the military strength of a king. Next verse, 12th verse. Kshetrani shasya sampadbhi कर्षकानां मुदं ददु मानिनां अनुतापं वै दैवाधीनं अजानतम्।
And their wealth of grains, with their wealth of grains, the fields gave joy to the farmers. But those fields created remorse in the hearts of those who were too proud to engage in farming and who failed to understand how everything is under the control of the Supreme.
So this is another beautiful comparison. So the wealth of grains is there in the fields. So as soon as monsoon begins, before the monsoon begins only, all the farmers start their preparations for rice plantation. Right? GV has been doing right since many years. So in our initial days here, when we came, we also did rice plantation. Right? It's not getting charged. Oh, fine. So generally what they do is, they fill the pond with so much water. Right? For pond means like some rice field. Right, which has some boundaries, they fill it with so much water and they plant all the rice plants very closely. Right, and when the monsoon is becoming more and more, so much rain is coming, so they kind of pluck all those plants and then distribute in bigger fields. It's like one field of rice plants will spread over several fields. Right, that's how these farmers do. In our childhood also we did all this. So farmers are becoming ecstatic, right? The fields are giving joy to the farmers. On the other hand, some people are saying, stop this rain. This rain is nonsense, right? All these, it created remorse in the proud people, right? They don't like farming, right? They fail to understand that everything is under the control of Supreme, and only because of this monsoon rains, rice is growing and other things are growing, we are able to eat. But they are against this farm, this rain, and then they say, we don't want this rain anymore. Right? We want to stop this rain. We are getting troubled because of, I want to go to office and suddenly some rain comes. Right? They are getting disgusted. But farmers are becoming so happy, ecstatic, right, doing their farming. Because people are not with the understanding that everything is under the control of Supreme. No, bro, we didn't click. Actually, we get so many photos like this, but we didn't. This is a downloaded photo. So, the fields are flourishing. But people in the large cities are becoming miserable and disgusted when there is ample rainfall. Then, they don't understand or forgot that rain is the nourishing, that we are eating because of these rains only, that they don't understand. But they enjoy eating. Right? They go to some restaurant, order some things, right? But they condemn rain. Then they do not appreciate that with the rain, Supreme Lord is feeding the human beings, right? Plants, animals, and earth itself, like that. Prabhupada gives so many lessons. Modern sophisticated people often look down their noses at those engaged in agriculture work. Agriculture, it's a low-class work. Eating, it's a high-class work. But agriculture means low-class work. And all the modern farmers also, I have been a farmer, my father was a farmer, my grandfather was a farmer, my son should become engineer, my son should become doctor, right? You go to cities and then study. So like that, people are showing less interest in farming. American slang, a simple unintelligent person is sometimes called a farmer. Kisiko gali dena hai to, you farmer, you say like that is gali in American slang. So government agencies restrict agriculture production. That's why there is food shortages. And it is thrown into some ocean. Prabhupada writes, the administration of the arrogant and ignorant, those who are too proud to obey laws of God, or too ignorant to recognize them, will always cause frustration among people. Whereas God-conscious government will provide abundance and happiness for all. Like that. So now we will take a break. Okay. After break we will continue from 13th verse. This is Shashya Sampadaha. Kshetrani Shashya Sampadaha. Karshakanam Mudam Dadhu. So this sasya, this greenery, green fields are giving so much joy to all the farmers. Rain is coming. Hare Krishna. 13th verse. Jalasthalokasya sarve navavari nishevaya abhibhran ruchiram rupam yatha harinishevaya.
As all creatures of the land and water took advantage of the newly fallen rainwater, their forms became attractive and pleasing, just as a devotee becomes beautiful by engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord.
Mm. So the overview notes that you had in this book, that is not updated one, you can take this file from Pran Gopinath Rao. All analyses are segregated, many purport analyses are also included, in short. You can collect from him. Now, in the 13th verse, Sukadeva Goswami says, all the forms of all creatures of land and water, whether they are fishes or crabs or cows, all are from, these are all jivi creatures only. You saw crabs just going here and there. This is Yamuna. Down thing is Yamuna in the initial days. So they all become very happy, right? They become attractive, they become pleasing, right? Just like devotees become happy and pleasurable by engaging in Lord's service, all the animals of land and water, they become happy in monsoon, like that. So Prabhupada gives the example. So we have hippies and dirty looking students. After practicing Krishna consciousness and then following the regulations in ISKCON, they become healthy and they become effulgent with saffron and tilak, right? They appeared like men from Vaikuntha, like that. That is the comparison. 14th verse. Saridbhi sangata sindhus chukshobha svasanorminam apakvayoginas chittam kamaktam gunayugyatha.
When the rivers joined the ocean, it became agitated, its waves blown out by the wind, just as the mind of an immature yogi becomes agitated because he is still tainted by lust and attached to the objects of sense gratification.
Mm. So all the rivers flow towards the ocean, and when the river is meeting the ocean, especially in monsoon, there is a lot of agitation, right? This agitation is compared to the mind of apakva yogi, immature yogi. Apakva yoginas chittam kamaktam gunayugyatha. An immature yogi's mind is always disturbed by agitation, lust, other objects of sense gratification. So that agitation is compared to rivers meeting the ocean in monsoon. 15th verse. Girayo varshadharadbhir hanyamana navivyathu abhibhuyamana vyasanair yathadhokshaja chetasaham.
Just as devotees whose minds are absorbed in the personality of Godhead remain peaceful even when attacked by all sorts of dangers, the mountains in the rainy season were not at all disturbed by the repeated striking of the rain-bearing clouds.
This is a very important principle mentioned in these two verses, 14 and 15. It's very applicable to sadhakas. An immature sadhaka's mind gets agitated, okay, when there is object of sense gratification. That is in 14th verse. 15th verse, a mature devotee, mature sadhaka will not be agitated. Right, that agitation of immature sadhaka is compared to rivers meeting ocean, but the tolerance or steadiness of a mature sadhaka is compared in this verse like a mountain. Right, so the mountain is there, Kohos mountain here behind you. This same mountain which is behind you. Right, so the surface of the mountain is repeatedly being stricken by the rain bearing clouds. So clouds are touching the mountain and clouds are just throwing, you know, waters on the mountain, right? But mountain is peaceful. It's not getting agitated. It's not moving an inch, right? It's not protesting. Okay, it is steadily standing there. Similarly, devotees also remain very peaceful in the midst of danger, right? So many clouds are hovering around the mountain, but the mountain is not moving or agitating or protesting or complaining or doing anything about it. That is the nature of a mature devotee, right? And another beautiful, here the devotees are compared to adhokshaja chetasaha. How come devotees can tolerate like this? Devotees whose minds are absorbed in adhokshaja chetasaha, they remain peaceful, not everyone. In all sorts of dangers, they are not shaken in their devotional program purposes. Devotional program is not disturbed. They will continue to do it. Right? When there is some difficulty, some reversal, people will not feel inspired to do devotional service. Right? This service is causing some disturbance in me. Let me give up this service. So that kind of agitation is not there in the mind of a mature devotee. Another important element that Prabhupada gives is, when there is rain on the mountain becomes cleansed. Right? Now if you go for trekking on this mountain which is behind you, everything is clean. Earlier all the trees, the leaves of all the trees are filled with dirt. Right? All the pathways are very dirty. Right, so many people will just go there and then throw some papers or this and that. So all that is cleansed because of the rain. Right? Mountains cleansed of dirt become resplendent and beautiful. So this beauty you will see only in monsoon. In winter or in summer, everything will become brown. They don't appear very clean. So devotees, when they experience reversals and dangers, their heart becomes purified. Just like by tolerating the rain and clouds, mountains become cleansed. Similarly, by tolerating reversals and dangers in life, devotees become purified. That is a beautiful comparison, right? What is that purification that a devotee experiences? He is purified of the dust of attachment to the material world. Mountain is filled with dust and it is purified by rain clouds. Devotee or a person is, his heart is filled with the dust of attachment for material world, and that is cleansed away by performing devotional service. Like that. They become beautified. Right? The beauty of a devotee is tolerating reversals. Tolerating difficult conditions. That is the beauty of a devotee. So Krishna often endeavors to glorify a devotee through what medium? By giving him difficulties. All the Pandavas and Parikshit Maharaj, Kunti, Chitraketu, Vratrasur, Vidura, Sita, Lakshman, Bharat, so many devotees, Prajavasis. When someone is glorifying these devotees, what is the prominent element of their glorification? Definitely their devotion to the Lord, but their devotion in the midst of so many difficulties. So the glorification of all these devotees is not complete without explaining the dangers that they have experienced, without explaining the difficulties they have undergone in their devotional service. Right? Their dedication is undeviated in the midst of difficulties. That's why they are glorified. So just rain falling on a mountain has so many lessons to learn. Right? So that is the beauty of Acharya's explanations. Devotees become beautiful by tolerating difficult conditions. Important. Devotee accepts reversals in the life as mercy of Krishna. And they realize that all suffering is due to the suffering of one's due to his own previous misdeeds. Tatena kampam susamikshamana munjana eva atmakritam vipakam. So Prabhupada quotes this verse several times. And this theme appears in so many other purports, like Chitraketu's episode, Prabhupada says, Gajendra's episode, Prabhupada writes all this. Right? So there are so many episodes in Bhagavatam that are revealing this beautiful theme, tolerance. Tolerance is very important. So we make elaborate arrangements in winter or monsoon to protect ourselves from the onslaughts of nature. As soon as winter comes, people, take their warm clothes. As soon as monsoon comes, people take their umbrellas to protect themselves, right, from all these dangers. of natural calamities. But we should also endeavor to prepare our consciousness to tolerate the subtle difficulties. Gross difficulties, adhibhautika kleshas, we are making arrangements to tolerate them. But adhyatmika kleshas, okay, that also we need to prepare our consciousness and mind and intelligence, right, tolerate the onslaughts of ego, okay, of others, of our own selves, like that. So this is very important. By tolerating difficulties, a devotee becomes beautiful. The beauty of a devotee is his tolerance. Chapyante, what is that other one? Tidikshava karunika. First verse. Tiraskrita vipralabdha, kshipta kshipta hatavati, nasyatat pratikurvanti tad bhakta prabhavopihi. Next verse. Yeah, this is also the same theme. So, mountain is becoming so beautiful. This beauty you can't see in other times. You know, when? Summer you can't see this beauty. Only monsoon you can see this beauty. 16th verse. Marga bhabhubhu sandhigdas trinaischanna hyasamskritaha nabhyasyamana srutayo dvijaihkalena chahataha.
During the rainy season, the roads, not being cleansed, become covered with grass and debris and were thus difficult to make out. These roads were like religious scriptures that Brahmanas no longer study, and that thus become corrupted and covered over with the passage of time.
This is important principle. You see, roads, because there is extra growth of rains, if 2-3 days if people do not walk on those pathways, the road will be covered with grasses, especially in the rainy season. Even if they are walking on pathways, the pathway becomes narrow, so much that you can't make out there is a pathway only. Right? From this side and that side, the grasses that are growing are encroaching on the pathway. It is covered up. Right? So, this is compared to the religious scriptures that Brahmanas no longer study. Because of monsoon, people become lazy to go out and walk. Okay, let's have a stroll in Vrindavan forest. Let's go for a parikrama. Monsoon barish are. No, not today, tomorrow. Okay, like that. Although recently we have opened temples, if someone doesn't feel the impetus to go for parikrama every day, visit all 7 temples every day, so pathways are covered with grasses. Right? You know, you can't make out the pathway. So that happens. This is like religious scriptures which are not studied. We must be having personal experience that because of some busy schedules or something, for a week or 10 days or 2 weeks, you don't touch book. You don't get to look at the book or do a regular study of your half an hour or 1 hour, 2 hours, whatever. Vidyapeeth you can't realize, because 10 hours you have to be with the books only. But sometimes when some busy schedules come, you can't touch the book. Suddenly you just lose the connection. Right? You can't recollect even small verses. Sarvadharman Parichay, the next line. So you just try to recollect. Because last 1 month you didn't touch the book only. So this happens. Similarly, when religious scriptures are neglected to study by the Brahmanas, they even become corrupted with the prolonged neglect. Right? They will become covered over by passage of time. Right? At one point, this scripture is well studied and well known by so many people. Now, because it is being neglected, now hardly anyone is aware. Once the generation passes and the new people take over, new philosophy, new sampradayas will come. Right? Our traditional sampradayas will be covered over. Like that. That's why there should be a repeated emphasis on Shastric study. Right? Repeatedly one has to study to keep the tradition on. Right? Sometimes if we neglect to study, we may lose the habit only. We may start feeling that something else is important, more important than this. Right? And if one person does it, he will affect his own self. If a community, if a group of devotees don't give priority to Shastric study, right, then in that group, right, the culture of studying scripture will be lost. Right? It will be covered over as with the passage of time. So this is a very important message. Just like roads are covered over by grasses if they are not used during monsoon, similarly scriptures will be neglected. Right? Next, beautiful verse, 18th verse. No, 17th verse, right? Lokabandhushu megheshu vidyutas chalas suhrida sauhrida sthairyam cha chakruh kaminya purusheshu gunishviva.
Though the clouds are the well-wishing friends of all beings, all living beings, the lightning, fickle in its affinities, moved from one group of clouds to another, like lusty women, unfaithful even to virtuous men.
So this is a photo when Vrindavan forest, that Keshi Ghat is not yet complete. You see the chhetri, small portion is seen. You know, the dome is not yet installed on the chhetri, towards this corner, towards the logo. Only some small stone portion is seen, carved stone. So here the clouds are compared to qualified men. Clouds are lokabandhushu megheshu. Megha is lokabandhu. Means it is a well-wisher of everyone, loka. Similarly, qualified men are also well-wishing people. They desire the welfare of everyone. Just like clouds pour rain and give sustenance to many people, qualified men, saintly persons, devotees also are well-wishers of everyone. Right? So, they, family members are workers in business. They give sustenance to everyone. They give spiritual guidance to everyone. So that is the message from this 17th verse. Now, another comparison is given. The lightning is very fickle, right? The lightning appears in one cloud, suddenly it appears here, then appears there. It's very fickle, it just passes from one cloud to another cloud. Just like a unchaste woman changes, paramours, right? Pumshchali, patyur jayeva pumshchali. Where does it come? Rishabhdev's teaching, correct. 5.6. When Sukadeva Goswami is appearing, describing the nature of mind, right, why Rishabhdev neglected all mystic powers? Then Sukadeva Goswami explains the nature of mind. It's like Pumshchali, who changes paramours. Somewhere else this comes, Pumshchali. Pumshchali Pati. Puranjan? Where did it come? Maybe, I don't remember. Next, anything else? Anywhere else? Recently, Maharaj also explained. Gaur Krishnadas Maharaj. Hariyashvas. Lusty intelligence, correct. So the intelligence, the kubuddhi, whatever, intelligence is compared to lust, this pumshchali. And the possessor of their intelligence is the husband of that intelligence. This is one of the 10 allegorical points of Narada Muni's allegory to Hariyashvas. This is compared to lightning here. Next. Lesson to householders. If wife divorces, husband is disturbed, family ruined, children dispersed, business closed. So husband and wife should control sex intelligence and concentrate in Krishna consciousness. Right? So that is the solution that Prabhupada gives. 18th verse. Dhanurviyati Mahendram Nirgunam cha gunanyabhut Vyakte gunavyati kare Gunavan Purusho Yatha.
When the curved bow of Indra, the rainbow, appeared in the sky, which had the quality of thundering sound, it was unlike ordinary bows because it did not rest upon a string. Similarly, when the Supreme Lord appears in this world, which is the interaction of the material qualities, he is unlike ordinary persons because he remains free from all material qualities and independent of all material conditions.
So there is rainbow. So it is called bow, but there is no string. Bow should have a string. Actually, bow rests on the string. Right? Without bow, the string becomes like a stick. Right? The usage of bow is very much dependent on the string. Right? But rainbow is called bow, but it doesn't rest upon string. Similarly, when the Supreme Lord Krishna descends into this material world as an incarnation, he is not like an ordinary human being or ordinary living entity who is influenced by modes, right? He doesn't depend on the protocols of this material world. He is independent of all material conditions, right? So he need not grow old. He need not grow white hair, right? He can be 123-year-old and he can look like a 20-year-old, 25-year-old young man, right? He is not dependent on any material conditions. So, with these beautiful analogies, the message becomes more penetratable, right? It penetrates better. So some people become little fanatic, and then say when we give some analogy, when we give some example to communicate a message, they may criticize that, "Are you are diluting Bhagavatam, right? Itna pure Bhagavatam mein ye analogy kaise aa gaya beech mein?" No. Sukadeva Goswami is implementing this bona fide technique. Right, he's just comparing to rainbow on the sky to the descent of Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? So that the message is clear, people can understand, right? Examples and analogies are very powerful tool. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he appears by his internal potency, which is free from bondage of external potency. What is the bondage for the ordinary creature in freedom? What is bondage for the ordinary creature? He is freedom for Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, when Supreme Lord descends, he has full freedom to do anything. Right? His free will is complete. While the living entity's free will is very minute independence. But Supreme Lord is supremely independent. Swarat, Abhigna Swarat. Like that. Then 19th verse. Narajajodupas Channa Svajotsna Rajitair Ghanaihi Ahammatya Bhashitaya Svabhasha Svabhasa Purusho Yatha.
During the rainy season, the moon was prevented from appearing directly by the covering of the clouds, which were themselves illuminated by the moon's rays. Similarly, the living being in material existence is prevented from appearing directly by the covering of the false ego, which is itself illuminated by the consciousness of the pure soul.
This is a beautiful analogy. In monsoon, there are so many clouds, and all the luminaries of the sky are covered. So clouds come and cover the moon. And what happens? Moon is not clearly visible, but still it is visible through the clouds. Means clouds become illuminated because of the moon. Right? When the lighting object, the object that is producing light is in the background, a dark object comes, this also gets illuminated. Right? Because of that internal thing. Although it is bad, there is some influence of this. Like that. So this is compared to false ego getting illuminated by the consciousness of pure soul. So consciousness is in the background. The soul's consciousness is in the background, and false ego is getting illuminated by that. So Prabhupada very elaborately discusses the role of false ego. So consciousness is consciousness covered by false ego. Because of this, there is false identification with the material world. Just like when cloud covers the moon, moon is not visible properly. Similarly, when consciousness is covered by false ego, it becomes contaminated, it becomes material consciousness, right? Consciousness is the medium that connects matter to spirit. The other day, Devakinandan Prabhu was also explaining in Hindi, right? So, and there are many other beautiful points. In material life, our false ego is often enthusiastic, hopeful, apparently aware of various material affairs, and such consciousness encourages us to push on in material existence. But in truth, we are merely experiencing the dull reflection of our original pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Yes, moonlight is visible through clouds, but that is not the maximum light you can see, you can get from the moon. Once the cloud is removed, you will see the full illumination of the moon. Okay, you will relish the moonlight more. That will come in the next slides. Right? So the there is some moonlight that is covering, that is coming through the medium of clouds, it is not full. So whatever activeness or enthusiasm that we are exhibiting in material activities through the medium of false ego is not complete, right? Once the false ego is removed from the consciousness, then the complete spiritual effect of consciousness is apparent, is visible, is experienced. There are few more points. We'll move ahead to the 20th verse.
Meghagamotsavahrishtah
Pratyandan Shikhandina Griheshu Tapta Nirvinna Yathachyuta Janagame.
The peacocks become festive and cried out a joyful greeting when they saw the clouds arrive. Just as people distressed in household life feel pleasure when the pure devotees of the infallible Lord, infallible Supreme Lord visit them.
So peacocks are, clouds are coming. Peacock just opens its feathers, tail, and then dances very jubilantly, right, on seeing the clouds. So cloud is a great cause of celebration for the peacock. Actually, I heard that the mating of peacocks will not happen like any other birds or animals, right? When there is rain, the male peacock becomes so jubilant and then opens its feathers and then dances like anything, and the semen of that peacock will come from his eyes, and the female peacock drinks it and becomes pregnant, right? So some poet compared this with Krishna. So Krishna, although he's dancing with so many ladies and then having intimate relation with so many gopis and queens of Dwarka, still he is a brahmachari, right? He can be like a brahmachari, he is not attached to any of them. Just like, that's why he is wearing peacock feather also. Right? So there is no material connection, right? Krishna is totally impressed with the devotional service and devotional attitude and love and affection of all these queens and gopis, and then he is reciprocating with them. Like that. Uddama bhava pishunamala valguhasa vridavaloka nihato madanopayasa. Right? Sammuhya chapa majahat pramadottamasta yasya indriyam vimathitum kohakairna sekuhu. All these beautiful queens with their feminine attributes cannot cause even the slightest amount of disturbance in the senses of Krishna. They can agitate Cupid, they can agitate Shiva, but they cannot agitate Krishna. Because he is not connected in on a material platform. Right? He is just reciprocating with their devotional service. Coming back to this peacock's joy in seeing the clouds. So peacocks become very joyful on seeing the clouds and they dance. Similarly, householders also become very joyful, grihasthas, right, when they receive a devotee at their home. Parikshit Maharaj became so joyful when Sukadeva Goswami came. You don't stand even for the milking time, right? You stand in front of a house only for the time during which a cow can be milked. That is just few minutes, right? That too you will go into some remembrance of Krishna's leelas with cows in that time. That's why you are standing, right? And Gargamuni, when he visited Nanda Maharaj, what was that verse? Gargamuni visits Nanda Maharaj and Nanda Maharaj says, Mahadvichalanam nunam grihinam dhyana chetasam. What is next? Mahadvichalanam nunam nishreyasaya bhagavan. So there is no other kalpate nanyatha kochit. Yeah, there is no other reason for any saintly person to visit a householder except to deliver him. So similarly, grihasthas, they become joyful when they get the opportunity to receive a sadhu at their house. That is the beautiful message here. Next verse. This is 21.
Pitva pahpadapa padbhir asannanatva murtayah prakshamastapasa shranta yathakama anusevaya.
The trees had grown thin and dry, but after they drank the newly fallen rainwater through their feet, their various bodily features blossomed. Similarly, one whose body has grown thin and weak from austerity again exhibits his healthy bodily features upon enjoying the material objects gained through that austerity.
So this is a scene from summer. Okay, there is hardly any green color in the image, right? There is hardly any green leaves on the tree. So they become emaciated, thin, dry. But who became dry? Padapa. Trees became dry. Why they are called padapa? Because they drink through pada. But when there is monsoon, this is compared to a body which has grown thin because of austerity. So this is one comparison at this stage. A dry tree that has become dry, and a body that has become thin because of austerity. Now, this padapa, after drinking the newly fallen rainwater through their feet, through their root, right, they start becoming green. Similarly, the person whose body has become emaciated and thin, after enjoying the material objects gained through that austerity, what happens? He becomes healthy. He gets, you know, beautiful bodily features, right? Just like tree, through drinking water from their feet, it becomes blossomed and flowers will come and green leaves will come. Similarly, a body that has been emaciated because of austerities, after getting the results of their austerities, becomes healthy. Just one nice example. Devahuti's body has become so thin, right? But she got a newly, you know, healthy body, bodily features because of the pleasure of Kardamuni, because of his benediction. Okay, that is devotional side only. It's not any karmi side. But one example that comes to my mind now. This Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu's body has become thin. Huh? And so many ants and other things are just eating his body. Half of his body is like skeleton only. And Brahmaji came and then threw some water and then he becomes normal. Right? Healthy body again, back. Yesterday, Radhananda Maharaj was describing about Hiranyakashipu. Next, 22.
Sarasvashantarodhashu Nyashur Angapi Sarasaha Griheshvashanta Krutyeshu Gramya Ivadurashayaha.
The cranes continued dwelling on the shores of the lakes, although the shores were agitated during the rainy season. Just as materialistic persons with contaminated minds always remain at home despite the many disturbances there.
This is the typical example that comes to my mind is Dhritarashtra, right? So cranes, although the shores of lakes are agitated, cranes are leaving the lakes. Cranes are not leaving the lakes, right? They are continuing to remain there only. Similarly, materialistic persons, till the end of their life, they want to be attached to the homes, facilities. Like that, Prabhupada often criticizes the politicians who wants to hold on to their posts till the end of their life. Right? In the first canto, there are several such comparisons. Actually, a king or politician should be eager to renounce as early as possible. He should hold the responsibility of the state till a person, a descendant or a qualified heir can take over. And as soon as his descendant is ready to take up the charge of the kingdom, he should give it to him. He should go to vanaprastha life and focus on devotional activities. That should be the attitude of a king or a ruler. But people become attached to their homes and facilities, etc. Grihamedhis. Despite innumerable painful disturbances there, although the family members are not treating him properly, in Kapildev's teachings you will see, right? Sometimes an old man is just made fun of by his grandchildren. Okay, he would be he would not be given facilities, right? People will play with him also, right? He will not feed him properly. There is a neglect. So many things are there. Still, he wouldn't leave home. This is my home. These are my children, my grandchildren. This is a home which I had built, right? Although there is no value that I am getting here, still I am holding on to it, like that. Attached householder doesn't go away for spiritual improvement. He regards such an idea as shocking and uncivilized because he is completely ignorant of absolute truth and his relationship to the truth. Like that. I have seen in one house one grandfather who had spent 75-80 years serving that family. He wants some hot water for taking bath. None of the family members are paying any heed to his request. Right? Bindas, Aramse, they are just going away, not even attending to his basic need. Right? 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, he is not taking bath. He is just asking for some hot water. I have personally witnessed. So this will happen. 23.
Jalaoghair nirbhida nirabhidyanta Setavo Varshatishvare Pashandinam Asadvadir Vedamarga Hakkalau Yatha.
When Indra sent forth his rains, the flood waters broke through the irrigation dikes in agricultural fields. Just as in the Kali Yuga, the atheist false theories break down the boundaries of Vedic injunctions.
So flood waters broke through the dikes of irrigation dikes in the agricultural fields. Yeah, like when there is excess water, no boundaries can stop it. It just flows and it will just inundate the fields also, rice fields also. So that is compared to atheists' false theories, breaking the boundaries of Vedic injunctions. Once there is a little deviation in this, once somebody presents some speculated thing, right, there is a little deviation, and the deviation becomes a protocol, and then he deviates there, right from the main content only. Right, that's how things happen. That's why presenting Vedic philosophy should be done with utmost care. In the first canto, I think fourth chapter, the beginning verses, first verse only, Prabhupada gives the qualifications of a congratulator and what are the different features of personal realization. Personal realization means not speculation. You should present the points of acharyas in a digestible way, in an understandable way for the current audience. Right? But the essence of the teaching should be retained. So like that. Next. 24th verse. 23rd. Vyamunchan vayubhir nunna bhutebhyas champrutam ghanah yathasisho vispatayo kale kale dvijeritah.
The clouds impelled by the winds released their nectarian water for the benefit of all living beings, just as kings instructed by their Brahmana priests dispense charity to the citizens.
Okay. So clouds, they are impelled by winds. Similarly, kings are inspired by Brahmanas, are instructed by Brahmanas to do what? To perform charity and to perform sacrifices. Just like clouds impelled by winds are releasing water for the benefit of all living entities. Beautiful comparison. So this, the idea of a king performing sacrifices is just for the welfare of the public. Right? Several kings have done it. Okay. Now, there are four sections in the human society: Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Sudras. They are meant to live peacefully in a cooperative mood. Right? So, kings will be instructed by the Brahmanas to perform charitable activities and then sacrifices for the welfare of people. Right? So, distribution of such wealth is also nectarian, like the distribution of rain by the clouds. That is how Prabhupada explains this verse. Now, 25th verse. Vanavakasa pramudita evam vanam tad varshishtam pakvakharjura jambumat gogopalair vritorantum Sabala Pravishadhari.
When the Vrindavana forest had thus become resplendent, filled with ripe dates, and jambu fruits, Lord Krishna, surrounded by his cows and cowherd boyfriends and accompanied by Sri Balarama, entered that forest to enjoy.
So, what is the purpose of all this beauty in Vrindavan? For Krishna's pleasure, for Krishna's pastimes, right? Whatever happens in Vrindavan, all these features of monsoon that we have seen, description, that may happen in any monsoon, right? Anywhere, right? Any place will become like this. But what is the speciality of Vrindavan? All that variegatedness and everything is happening for Krishna's pleasure. From 25th verse till 31, 32, Sukadeva Goswami describes how all these elements are there for Krishna's pleasure. How Krishna is enjoying, how Krishna is accepting the gifts of nature which are coming through this monsoon season. Dhenavo mandagaminya udhobhareṇa bhūyasa yayur bhagavata hūta dhṛtam prītya snutastanāḥ.
The cows had to move slowly because of their weighty milk bags, but they quickly ran to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as soon as he called them, their affection for him causing their udders to become wet.
So cows are moving slowly because their milk bags are very fatty, right? Then, but they quickly ran when Krishna called them. That is mentioned here. Then, vanaukasah pramudita, vanarajir madhuchyuta, jaladhara gireh nadad, asanna dadrishe guhaha.
The Lord saw the joyful aborigine girls of the forest, the trees dripping sweet sap and the mountain waterfalls whose resounding indicated that there were caves nearby.
So during the rainy season, roots and bulbs are very tender and palatable and Krishna would eat them. This comes later. Okay, 28th verse. Kvachid vanaspati krode guhayam chabhivarshati nirvishya bhagavan reme kandamula phalashana.
When it rained, the Lord would sometimes enter a cave or the hollow of a tree to play and to eat roots and fruits.
So Krishna would sometimes eat that. Dadhyodanam samanitam shilayam salilantike sambhojaniyar bubhuje gopai sankarshananvita.
Lord Krishna would take his meal of boiled rice and yogurt sent from home in the company of Lord Sankarshana and the cowherd boys who regularly ate with him. They would all sit down to eat on a large stone near the water.
So what is Krishna's food? Dadhyodanam. If you go to South India, main Sri Vaishnava temples have this Dadhyodanam, Pulihara, Chakrabangal. So this is like one of the popular items. So Krishna just simply eats Dadhyodanam, curd rice. And they would sit on a stone along with Balaramji and then eat all this. Shadvalopari samvishyam charvato militekshanam triptan vrishan vatsaratan vatsataran gaschasvadho bharashramaham pravritsriyam chatam vikshya sarvakala sukhavaham bhagavan pujayam chakre atma shaktyupabrahmitam.
Lord Krishna watched the contented bulls, calves and the cows sitting on the green grass and grazing with closed eyes. and he saw that the cows were tired from the burden of their heavy milk bags. Thus, observing the beauty and opulence of Vrindavana's rainy season, a perennial source of great happiness, the Lord offered all respect to that season, which was expanded from his own internal potency.
So the monsoon or autumn in Vrindavan is expanding from Krishna's internal potency to give him pleasure. Right? It's not ordinary. So the lush beauty of rainy season in Vrindavan is meant to enhance the pleasure pastimes of Krishna. To set this scene for Lord's loving affairs, his internal potency is making arrangements described in this chapter. So that is the whole purpose. Suddenly how some seasons description is coming, what is its relation with Krishna's pastime, so many leelas are going on, there is no leela here, right? But this is the arrangement which is made by Lord's internal potency for his leelas, as we clarified right in the beginning, right? 32.
Evam nivasitos tasmin Ramakeshavayor vraje Sharat samabhavat vyabhra Swachambu aparusha nila.
While Lord Rama and Lord Keshava were thus dwelling in Vrindavana, the fall season arrived when the sky is cloudless, the water clear, and the wind gentle.
Now we are entering another season. Post-monsoon is autumn or fall, whatever. So, 33. From 33 onwards, we have many other beautiful analogies coming up. 33.
Sharada nirajotpatya nirani prakritim yayo. Bhrashtanam iva chetamsi punaryoga nishevaya.
The autumn season, which regenerated the lotus flowers, also restored the various bodies of water to their original purity, just as a process of devotional service purifies the minds of the fallen yogis when they return to it.
So now, in monsoon, these lotuses and lilies may not grow so nicely, right? But when the autumn season arrived, Sharad Ritu came, then all these lotuses and lilies started growing, right? They regenerated, restored in various water bodies to their original purity and beauty. So in monsoon, all the reservoirs of water become muddy waters. So now in autumn, the rainfall stops, there is like a slight rainfall, that kind of purifies the water, and then the whole thing will be settled down. This whole concept Prabhupada explains in second canto. What is that? Pravishta karnarendrena svanam bhava sarorudum. Dhunoti samala krishna salilasya yathasarat. So dhunoti samala krishna salilasya yathasarat. Salilasya yathasarat. The rains in autumn are purifying the water reservoirs, because they are very mild and gentle. But in monsoon, they are like very heavy. They will just agitate the reservoirs of water. They will create a lot of muddy flow of water, right? But that doesn't happen in autumn. So then all the mud settles down and the reservoirs will become very beautiful, and then lotuses will grow, lilies will grow, all this will happen. So same, that kind of similar effect happens on the anarthas. By hearing Krishna Katha, all the anarthas are purified. Salilasya yathasarat. Same comparison is given here also. Devotional service purifies the minds of fallen yogis when they return to it. When they return to it, actually, originally, potentially, every living entity is a devotee of Krishna. But because of maya, they are diverted, they are deviated. Right? Again, when they return to devotional service, when Krishna tries to reclaim them, which he is constantly endeavoring, and when the living entity cooperates, so the reclaiming process will become faster. Right? So then, that is compared to regeneration of lotuses and lilies in the ponds post-monsoon, in the beginning of autumn. 34th verse.
Vyomno Vyomno Brahmbhuta Shabalyam Bhuvah Pankam Apammalam Sharajjahara Shraminam Krishne Bhaktir Yathashubham.
Autumn cleared the sky of clouds. Let the animals get out of their crowded living conditions, clean the earth of its covering of mud, and purify the water of contamination. In the same way that loving service rendered to Lord Krishna frees the members of the four spiritual orders from their respective troubles.
So when the sky is cleared of all these clouds and all the animals are freed, right? They cleansed the, they cleaned the earth of its covering of mud. The water is purified. So the effect of appearance of autumn is animals are freed because they were tied inside their shalas, whatever, their captivities. They are not allowed outside so much. So animals are freed. The mud on the earth surface is cleaned and the water is purified of its contamination. Three things. So this is compared to devotional service frees brahmanas, brahmacharis, then grihasthas, vanaprasthas and sannyasis from their troubles. So first, Sukadeva Goswami or Prabhupada in his elaborate purport, he explains, brahmacharis are freed. How? Freed from troubles. How? Sky returns to its natural blue color, right? And the clouds vanish. When the rain clouds vanish, sky returns to its natural blue color, not the dark blue. So this is compared to vanishing of the troublesome duties of brahmachari life. Second, grihasthas. So this is compared to animals. In monsoon, animals cluster together. This is a monsoon photo. Just some time back I was clicking. All the cows would just come very close, right, in autumn. But in autumn, they go to their respective places. They disperse, right? So they can stay alone, right? So householders, being free from the harassment of family duties, and they give up, they take to more spiritual duties. This is compared to that. Brahmacharis, clear sky, right? And grihasthas, they are out of the harassment of family duties and they take up to more devotional practices. This is compared to animals being clustered together and then dispersing in autumn. They were clustered together in monsoon, they stay alone in autumn. This is about grihasthas. Then about vanaprasthas, it is compared to in autumn, there is a removal of dirty, muddy layer on the earth. So you see in monsoon, you try to walk, when it is like too much muddy, your foot will go maybe 2-3 inches inside the ground, right? It goes like that. Not on the regularly walked roads, but it's on concrete roads. But in general muddy roads, it will just go inside. But the, in autumn, the muddy layer on the water, on the surface of the earth is removed so much. So this is compared to removal of inconveniences of vanaprastha life. Whatever inconveniences vanaprasthas might face. Then sannyasis. All the water is purified. The muddy water is purified. Everything gets settled. So this is compared to the sanctification of sannyasi life by preaching without sex desire. So when a sannyasi preaches Krishna consciousness, his sannyasi life, renounced order, is sanctified, according to this purport. And there are a few more points about these four sannyasis, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, brahmacharis. So brahmachari means he does menial duties in student life. As he advances in devotional service, he will be given more responsibilities. Guru elevates him from a higher status to a higher status. So in BT, someone will do toilet cleaning, this and that. Right? When he comes to Vidyapeeth, he will be given little, not that menial services. But when someone, you know, spends more time, he will be given more serious responsibilities than the menial services. That kind of things happen. But one should always be ready to do menial services. As we discussed earlier also, privileged services one can do if he is asked to do. When he is offered certain privileged services, he can do. Right? We should not be eager to do privileged services. Okay. But menial services one should always be eager to do. Like that. This is very important. Like as he spends more time, he may be given some privileged services, but one should make sure that they are offered only. It's not, they are not aspired for. Right? I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to, you know, sing in front of everyone, this kind of things. No? So there may be obstacles. Grihastha, there are innumerable obligations performed on behalf of wife, children. There is constant harassment. But as he becomes advanced in loving service to Krishna, he is automatically elevated by the laws of nature to more enjoyable spiritual occupations. And he minimizes material duties. Somehow he minimizes material duties. By default, a grihastha has unlimited responsibilities, family responsibilities, social responsibilities. He has to attend so many functions, relatives. But when he takes up to devotional service, like automatically he feels the impetus to come out of those material obligations and duties and focus more on devotional service. Right? Same thing with vanaprastha and sannyasis. Sannyasis mainly preaching. Okay, Prabhupada explains all this. 35th verse. Sarvasvam jaladahitvam
vireju
shubhra varchasa yathatyaktaishana shanta munayo mukta kilbishah.
The clouds, having given up all they possessed, shone forth with purified effulgence, just like peaceful sages who had given up all material desires and are thus free from all sinful propensities.
So, clouds gave up everything. So, cloud is holding what so far? Water. And in monsoon, cloud just poured all the water that it had. Right? So, this is compared to peaceful sages giving up material desires. Sages giving up material desires, they remain peaceful. So this is a photo, pre-monsoon photo. Actually, this is supposed to be post-monsoon photo. We are putting pre-monsoon photo. So, yeah, when someone gives up all sinful propensities and material desires, he becomes peaceful, like the cloud here. And they brilliantly reflect his own soul and the super soul within. That is the effect of giving up material desires. 36th verse.
Girayo mumujuh toyam
kvachinnamu mujuh
shivam
yatha janma yatha jnana mritam kale
jnanino
dadate nava.
During this season, the mountains sometimes released their pure water and sometimes did not, just as experts in transcendental science sometimes give the nectar of transcendental knowledge and sometimes do not.
So mountains in autumn season, sometimes there were some waterfalls. Okay, sometimes they released water, sometimes they did not. In monsoon there is constant flow of rainfall. You must be seeing waterfalls from this mountain. But in autumn it's not like that. Similarly, preachers sometimes give knowledge, sometimes they don't, depending on specific circumstances. Right? As soon as the preacher sees mic, he will not start in a Bhagavatam class. He will first see the audience. Oh, who are they? Okay, let me not speak now. Or let me speak something else now. So like that. Or is he qualified to hear all that? 38th verse. Gadha. 37th verse.
Naivavidan
kshiyamanam jalam gadha jale charaha
yathayur
anvaham kshayam
naramud
naramudhaha kutumbinaha.
The fish swimming in the increasingly shallow water did not at all understand that the water was diminishing, just as foolish family men cannot see how the time they have left to live is diminishing with every passing day.
So again, we can remember Dhritarashtra. So fish, like in autumn, in rainy season, there is a lot of water. So fish is like, happily enjoying. But in autumn, the depth of the waters is decreasing. The water reservoirs are becoming shallow and shallow and shallow. Right? So when winter when autumn transforms to in a more winter and then summer, then there's hardly any water. So fish doesn't realize this. Okay? In our childhood, we have this one small lesson in Telugu, I think, right, textbook. There were three fish. One is Samayaspurti, one is Praptakalagna, and one is Mandamati. Right? So once some fishermen came to the pond, and then they were discussing, now we'll do the fishing, and then take away all the fish. So Samayaspurti. You understand the meanings of the Sanskrit, na? Samayaspurti, it announced to all the other fishes, okay, now we should move. There is a small stream going from this pond to another big pond. We should escape from this. Otherwise, fishermen will come and catch us. Right? That is Samayaspurti fish. But others are not paying much heed. Samayaspurti just went away. Then Praptakalagna. So, when the fishermen came with their fishing nets and then threw on the waters, then Praptakalagna, he got some buddhi. And then it attempted to escape, and then with great struggle, somehow it escaped. But Mandamati, he was caught up in the fisherman's net and became food of some, non-vegetarian. Right? So that was one story that we heard. So fish did not understand the diminishing of water. Similarly, a foolish family man cannot understand the diminishing lifetime. So his life is getting diminished. I am getting more and more absorbed in family responsibilities only. When will I take shelter of Krishna? When will I start chanting? So all these kind of thoughts will not come into the mind of materialistic person, Grihamayadhis.
38th verse. Gadhavari charastapam avindan charadarkajam yatha daridra kripana kutumbi abhijitendriyaha.
Just as a miserly, poverty-stricken person, overly absorbed in family life, suffers because he cannot control his senses, the fish swimming in the shallow water had to suffer the heat of the autumn sun.
So in the shallow water, you can't just get much coolness of water. Water is hot from top to bottom of the water reservoir. Hardly any depth. Right? Maybe this much depth. So fish is getting suffered because of the heat. Similarly, misers also, when they are absorbed in family life, suffer. Why? Because of uncontrolled senses. Next, 39th verse.
Shanai shanai jala pankam jahu pankam sthalanyamam cha virudha yathaham mamadam dhiraha sariradishvanatmasu.
Gradually the different areas of land gave up their muddy condition and the plants grew past their unripe stage. In the same way, that sober sages give up egotism and possessiveness. These are based on things different from the real self, namely the material body and its byproducts.
So land giving up muddy conditions is compared to sober sages giving up ego and possessiveness. In one of the purports of third canto, Prabhupada writes, giving up, renunciation. Renunciation, what does renunciation mean? Renunciation means giving up something. But what do you have to give it up? Okay, just by changing your residence from a palace to the forest doesn't mean you are a renunciant. Because palace does not belong to you, forest also does not belong to you. So where is the question of renunciation? Real renunciation means renunciation of false ego. Prabhupada writes in one third canto purport, TLK, teachings of Lord Kapila. Recently here, His Holiness Radhanasam Maharaj was also saying, right, what do you have to renounce? Right? You have to renounce the illusion or imagination, illusion that you possess something, you have something to renounce. Give up the illusion that you have something to renounce. Like that, he was quoting Prabhupada, like that. That is about sober sages. 40th verse.
Nishchalambur abhut tushnim samudra saradagame atmanyuparate samyan
munir viparatagama.
With the arrival of autumn, the ocean and the lakes became silent.
Muddy condition. Renunciation, bro. Just like land gave up muddy condition, renunciants gave up possessiveness and ego. Yes, bro. Next.
With the arrival of autumn.
That is compared to the possessiveness of a yogi.
With the arrival of autumn, the ocean and the lakes became silent, their waters still, just like a sage who has desisted from all material activities and given up his recitation of Vedic mantras.
So now that is about small muddy reservoirs, they may dry up, and the fishes inside the reservoirs, they suffer the monsoon, autumn heat. But there are bigger oceans and lakes, right? There is a lot of water there. They become silent. So far they were agitated because of rain. They were flowing, they were overflowing. But now they become silent, their water is still. So this is compared to sages desisting from material activities and giving up the recitation of ordinary Vedic mantras. So ordinary Vedic mantras they gave up. They took up to the pure chanting of holy names or whatever. So recitation of ordinary Vedic mantras for material protection, for mystic power and impersonal salvation. So these things all the sages have given up. That is compared to water stopping agitation in the lakes and oceans. Prabhupada writes, when a sage is completely free from personal desire, he vibrates the transcendental glories of the Supreme Lord exclusively. Exclusively. There is no need for reciting any other ordinary Vedic mantras for material promotion, mystic power, impersonal salvation, etc. Right? Just chant holy names, just speak Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. That is sufficient. Tongue can be used to vibrate only the holy names and Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, or Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that is exclusive usage of tongue. Right? No other ordinary mantras needed. 41st verse. Kada kedarebhyascha apogrunan karshaka drudasetubhi yatha pranehi sravadjnanam tannirodhena yoginaham.
In the same way that the practitioners of yoga bring their senses under strict control to check their consciousness from flowing out through the agitated senses, the farmers erected strong mud banks to keep the water within their rice fields from draining out.
This is very important for the agriculture farmers. So as we discussed earlier, farmers make boundaries around the rice fields, right? Now they make little higher and higher boundaries around their rice fields so that the water inside the field will retain. It will not overflow. Now there is no more rain. Rain stopped. Okay, no more hope for rain. So, but water is needed for continuing the crop. So they raise their boundaries, right, mud banks. So this is compared to the practitioners of yoga bringing their senses under strict control. Right, to check their consciousness from flowing out through their agitated senses. So water has to be restricted inside, right, for the growth of the crop. Similarly, consciousness has to be restricted within the limits of devotional service for progress in bhakti. If that consciousness is not restricted within the limits of temple or devotional service or the deities or Bhagavatam, it will flow away through the medium of senses. Eyes are seeing something beautiful object, it will just flow away there. Right? Bring back that consciousness. Restrict it here. Just like a farmer will not allow the water to flow away from his rice field. He will make the boundaries and then restrict it inside. Like that. Beautiful analogy. Next, 42nd verse. Prabhupada has one beautiful lesson here. Prabhupada says, after 50, one should retire from family life and conserve energy of body for utilization in advancement of Krishna consciousness. Same thing. If the body has limited strength, one has to preserve it for devotional service. If one has limited time, the whole day is packed with so many other things, right? Then you don't find much time. Just squeeze out some time and then utilize it for, you know, morning completing japa. Okay, that is, that part is taken care of so that I can focus on other things in the during the day. So when we need to manage whatever little time we have, whatever little physical strength we have. Okay, now I have to say give a class for next 3 hours. I can't unnecessarily speak now and exhaust my energy if the energy is limited, right? Let me preserve my energy for class so that I do some my service properly, right? Let's preserve my time for doing these things in the day. This is very important for today's service. So one has to, you know, utilize all his resources very expertly, very intelligently. Unless one is able to control senses and engage them in transcendental loving service of Mukunda, there is no possibility of salvation. 42nd verse.
Sharad arkam shujam stapan bhutanam udupoharat dehabhimanajam bodho mukundo vrajayoshitam.
The autumn moon relieved all creatures of the suffering caused by the sun's rays, just as wisdom relieves a person of the misery caused by his identifying with his material body, and as Lord Mukunda relieves Vrindavana's ladies of the distress caused by their separation from him.
So in autumn, say late September or October, something like that, so the atmosphere is quite hot. Right, sun becomes very hot. So, autumn moon, the nights, right, autumn moon relieved all creatures from the suffering caused by sun's rays. Right, now the stars are prominent, no more rain clouds, right, sun is becoming prominent. So, to counteract the heat that is created by sun's rays, moon is spreading very cool effulgence, cool rays. So, this is compared to the wisdom that relieves a person of the misery caused by his bodily identification. When someone identifies himself with the body, then there is misery, right? Bodily misery. So, but wisdom, Krishna conscious wisdom, will relieve one from that bodily misery. Second, Krishna, Lord Mukunda, relieves the Vraja gopis from their separation from him by giving them darshan. So this is compared like that. So, moon's giving, moon rays for the relief of all creatures is compared to Krishna relieving gopis from separation and wisdom relieving one from material miseries. So, these are the two comparisons made with the autumn moon. 43rd verse.
Kham ashobhata nirmegham sharadvya malatarakam sattvayuktam yatha chittam Shabda-brahma-artha-darshanam.
Free of clouds and filled with clearly visible stars, the autumn sky shone brilliantly, just like the spiritual consciousness of one who has directly experienced the purport of the Vedic scriptures.
So, the autumn sky is cleared from clouds and the stars and moon are becoming very prominent like this. This is resembling the pure heart of a devotee. So when will that devotee's heart become purified? If he assimilates or experiences the purport of Vedic scriptures. By scriptural study, heart becomes purified. Like autumn sky, which becomes clear of any monsoon clouds. Like that. This is a very nice analogy. Clear and starry autumn sky is resembling the pure heart of a devotee. The spiritual nature, Vaikuntha, is always brilliant, clean, blissful. Immediately satisfies all desires of the soul. This is the secret of Krishna consciousness. Okay, next 44th verse.
Akhandamandalo vyomni Raja Rarajo Oduga Ganai Sashi यथा यदुपति कृष्ण वृष्णिचक्रावृतो भुवि.
The full moon shone in the sky, surrounded by stars, just as Sri Krishna, the lord of the Yadu dynasty, shone brilliantly on the earth, surrounded by all the Vrishnis.
Just like moon is surrounded by so many stars, is compared to Krishna surrounded by so many Vrishnis, right? That's why Krishna is compared to the moon of the moon dynasty. Like that. This is a simple comparison. In Vrindavan, the full moon eternally risen, right? It is like the full manifestation of absolute truth, Sri Krishna. 45th verse. Aslishya samachitoshnam prasuna vanamarutam janastapam jahu gopyo na krishna hritachetasaha.
Except for the gopis whose hearts had been stolen by Krishna, the people could forget their suffering by embracing the wind coming from the flower-filled forest. This wind was neither hot nor cold.
So everyone is happy. Wind is blowing, which is not hot, which is not cool. Right? If it is cool, you have to have a shovel. If it is hot, you know, you have to suffer, sweat and all. But it's like reasonable wind. But gopis, they were not very pacified by this wind, because their hearts were stolen by Krishna and they were constantly feeling separation from Krishna, right? Then come all the other events, Sharat events, Sharat Purnima. It begins with Sharat Purnima and then moves ahead. So many other festivals. So 46th verse. Gavo Mruga Khaga Narya Pushpinyah Sharadad Bhavan Anviyamana Swavarshaihi Falair Isha Kriya Iva.
By the influence of the autumn season, all the cows, doe, women and female birds became fertile and were followed by their respective mates in search of sexual enjoyment. Just as activities performed for the service of the Supreme Lord are automatically followed by all beneficial results.
So, an apparently mundane thing of a female searching for its mate for sexual enjoyment is compared to a devotional service here, right? But it happens in Vrindavan, that is not mundane. When this happens in Vrindavan, all the women, doe, female birds becoming fertile and then following the respective mates for sexual enjoyment, it's not mundane. And activities performed for the service of the Lord with utsaha, nischaya, dhairya, following the rules and regulations, are automatically followed by beneficial results or destinations. That is the comparison given. 47th verse. Udahrishyan varijani Surya Suryotane kumudvina Ragnatu nirbhaya loka Yathadasyun vinandrupa.
O King Parikshit, when the autumn sun rose, all the lotus flowers blossomed happily, except the night blooming kumud. Just as in the presence of a strong ruler, everyone becomes fearless except the thieves.
Very beautiful comparison. So just except that one flower, kumud, I don't know what is that flower, except that all the lotuses blossomed because of autumn. So everyone in a kingdom is happy with a good king, except the thieves and rogues, right? That is the comparison given. Simple comparison. Next, festivals. Lily, there are different night lilies, day lilies also. Bro. There are categories there also. Nursery, you can tell.
While the other people Is it the same one, this one?
Like you, from Krishna book, too? Okay, probably in the same context also, yeah. So 48th verse. Puragramesh agar agrayanyer. Indriyaischa mahotsavaihi babhau bhuh pakva shasyadhya kalabhyam nitaram harehe.
In all the towns and villages, people held great festivals, performing the Vedic fire sacrifice for honoring and tasting the first grains of the new harvest, along with similar celebrations that followed local custom and tradition. Thus the earth, rich with newly grown grain and especially beautified by the presence of Krishna and Balarama, shone beautifully as an expansion of the Supreme Lord.
So now there is harvesting, and then newly grown rice is there, grains are there. There are so many festivals according to the tradition, right? So traditional festivals and sacrifices for honoring and tasting first grains of new harvest, Navanna. Okay, Navanna means offering new grains to the Supreme Lord. Right, that happened. Then earth is rich with the newly grown grain, and especially beautified by the presence of Krishna and Balaram, shown very beautifully. Then 49th verse. New grown grains. This one, new grown. It's a traditional festival is going on, some festival with some rangoli and all that. Navanna. Next, 49th verse. Vanikmuni nirupasnata nirgamyarthan prapedire varsharuddhayatha siddha Swapindan kala agate.
The merchants, sages, kings and brahmachari students kept in by the rain were at last free to go out and attain their desired objects. Just as those who achieve perfection in this life can, when the proper time comes, leave the material body and attain their respective forms.
Now there are merchants. They can't go out during monsoon and then sell things, right, in markets. So now they became active. Then sages, they started going out. So during Chaturmasya, monsoon, so sages are held back. They can't travel so much. Now sages started traveling. Then kings came out with their parades. Brahmachari students, I don't know who is this, Vidyapeeth student, but it's in GV. Right, with bottle. Fine. They were kept in by the rain, so they were now free to go out to attain their desired objects like that. So Prabhupada writes that those who achieve perfection in this life leave material body and attain respective forms at proper time. Like the living entity is entrapped in this body. By his great fortune, he comes in contact with the Guru and performs devotional service to Krishna, right? Then his body becomes a restriction for him, right? When the time, proper time appears, he will come out of the body and then go back to the spiritual kingdom, right? So it's compared to someone who is held inside the house or inside the residence because of monsoon, and now rain stopped, they are free to travel, they are free to go out like that. So Prabhupada says, Jnani merges into spiritual effulgence of the Lord, Yogi goes to higher planets, and devotee goes to Goloka or Vaikuntha, like the different destinations. Merchants go out to markets, sages go out for some pilgrimage, right? Brahmacharis will go to their classes or whatever, right? But that is about the post-monsoon thing. But post this material life, there these are the different destinations for different people, like that. That's how the chapter ends. Thank you all very much. Vinatharaya Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Vrindavan Dham ki. Tomorrow we will have overview of the first 20 chapters. Then Wednesday and Thursday is like preparation and grand test on first 20 chapters. Your handbooks have the question papers. Then Friday we will have Venugita 10.21. Saturday we'll have Janmashtami. Sunday we'll have Nandotsav. Then Monday we'll have class. Tomorrow overview on first 20 chapters. Another option is tomorrow we can have Venugita, and Wednesday we can have overview. Then Saturday, Sunday can be for Thursday and Friday can be for exam, whichever everyone is like, whichever Rosie. Overview, including 21 chapters overview. Then Thursday, Friday can be dedicated for grand test. But Friday you have to write grand test. Saturday, Janmashtami. Monday, next Monday. Project. Next Monday project, sorry, not class. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, many devotees contributed. Questions. Twentieth chapter. So first question, 20 marks. First question, 20 marks. Picture, draw some pictures. Not everything, just whatever you can manage within half an hour. Okay, not every analogy. You can't remember also every analogy. If you go one by one, then it may be easy, but so summarize Krishna's pastimes in the monsoon forests of Vrindavan. This is 8 marks. Third question, 7 marks. Fourth question, 15 marks. Okay. Thank you. So, are we doing 21 tomorrow or overview? Rosie, whatever you. No, I'm okay for whatever is convenient. Tomorrow? Day after tomorrow, summary. First 20. Thank you.
inhabitants?